And welcome to episode 32 of the Pirate Monk Podcast. I'm Nate Larkin, here with a special guest, Ray Ware, and as always, our fearless engineer, the Most Reverend Mondo.
Greetings.
Hello there, Mr. Mondo.
Hello there. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Let's kick this off with a song.
Sounds good.
We got a new one in that Ray brought.
Okay.
Brought with him. By Phil Keggy and Randy Stonehill, written and performed by Phil and Randy. It's called Who's Your Driver?
Mistakes, got the pedal to the metal, man, you can't find the brake. Who's your driver?
Baby,
who's your driver? Who's your driver?
Tell me,
who's your driver? Looks like the roughest that you ever had. I think it's just about to drive you mad. You're skidding and sliding down a crooked avenue. Take a look into the mirror, tell me who's driving.
We're back at the Pirate Monk Podcast from SamsonSociety.org. We've been off a week. It's great to be back in the studio. Mondo, what's new in your life, man?
Man, a lot. A lot of family, a lot of vacation, a lot of family and friends coming in town, man. I've had Hotel Mondo for the last month. And I'm tired of people. I want to hang out by myself and, you know, and family and friends that are here and, I mean, people coming in suitcases, you know, washing sheets and, you know, and, you know, over and over again and cooking and what do you like to eat? No, what do you like to eat?
So
I'm ready to wind down for the month of August coming up and just chill out.
Yeah, I'm looking, you know, we got, Allie and I have one more trip before the August reprieve and we'll be here for 5 weeks straight. We are looking forward to the trip, though. We just got back from South Carolina, sweating. South Carolina at the end of July is hot.
It's sticky, isn't it?
Yeah. Next week we will be in Alaska.
There you go. Yeah. Now, what's the daylight there like right now? Isn't it?
It lasts forever.
Forever, yeah. It's like 24 hours, 23 and a half hours of daylight.
It's crazy. Tons and tons of
daylight.
How's
it dark for 30 minutes? That's cool, man. So that's an extreme. Sticky South Carolina to
It was in South Carolina, by the way, that I acquired this very cool white hat.
Yeah, I like that. It's you need a cigar.
I need a cigar, and then I need the accent to go with it.
Yes, South Carolina. Yeah, it's a very nice hat, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I wish you all could see this hat. It's very nice. And it's also good that I'm not the blunt of the jokes now concerning the clothes. Because, by the way, thank you all for writing to me about my plaid shorts on the Samson site. I did wear some plaid shorts one day. And
that's a big mistake.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Obviously. Obviously. But yeah, man, I love your hat, though.
So you're on the Samson site. People are messaging you there?
People are messaging me. I'm up there, and people are saying hello, love the podcast. We're getting great feedback, getting suggestions.
That's good.
Also, a few little strange things as well.
Such as?
Well, last week I got a comment on my page. It seemed as if there was no picture attached to the profile. But there was a young woman, if it was a woman, basically hitting on me.
Right.
Soliciting a picture, which is kind of weird when I already had a picture up.
Yeah. Is this Grace or Marin?
Marin.
Oh, Marin.
Marin.
Yes. There you go.
So you know her.
All I know is that we get these spammers who join the site from time to time.
Okay.
They sign up and they shoot off a whole bunch of comments or emails.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes they're trying to sell prescription drugs. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're trying to initiate relationships with guys. It's probably, some, Libyan teenage boy.
It's weird, man. It's strange because I saw it. I was like, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
And it was asking for, profile pictures or more pictures of me and my personal email address and, like some sort of hacker just trying to get more.
We try to, we police the site. There are a couple of us who kind of watch the site. We kick these people off as soon as they join.
Okay.
But I was traveling. Mm-hmm. And, so I think I think Grace and Marin were the same person. They joined within minutes of each other.
Okay.
We got rid of them as quickly as we could, but not before they fired off a bunch of emails.
Okay. Yeah. So if you guys have any comments or emails from Grace or Marin, you heard here what to think of that and what to do about it.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, we also did kind of debut on the site. There's a link on the main page of the site this week to a wiki site, a Samson, I'd say a tiki is what they call it.
Okay.
And we're calling it Samson Below Decks.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place that requires a separate login, but you can actually initiate conversations and carry on conversations on the Below Decks site that will not be indexed by Google or Yahoo or any other search engines.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's an added layer of protection, especially for sensitive conversations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, guys, if you want to ask a question, or if you want to make a statement or make a confession, something that you don't want to see turn up under a Google search.
Yeah. That's good to know.
Good idea.
Yeah. Go to Samson Below Decks. Register, and then what you have there, anything you say there won't be indexed. That's all secure.
That's good. That's good to know. Awesome.
All right. We've got Ray Ware with us today.
Yes, we do.
Talent manager extraordinaire, mm-hmm. and he came loaded with music. Thank God. Because we got to fill up the air with something. No. So let's play another song by Brian Duncan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brian, the blues man from back in the day.
Chains.
A messed up, wonderful brother.
Yeah.
With a great song. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's play Chains.
South of a jail cell in Mississippi, I met a free man from Middle Tennessee. But freedom's road's looking mighty slippery. Still doing hard time still letting lunatics freely run the show. He's got a chain reference right beside him. All stuff his mama said, still he doesn't know. Must be a brain thing, keeping them in fear. Guess it's a brain thing, keeping them in fear. He said, change, come in every shape and size. They don't hardly feel them after a while. Links of little compromises. I could trade my kingdom for a fire.
And we're back.
So, Nate, you've been gone, my brother, for about 2 weeks. 2 weeks?
Yeah, going on three now. We did that 10-day walk, 8-day, 9-day, 10-day walk through England.
Yes, tell us about that.
I was going back through photographs of it today, showing it.
Yeah.
Showing them to friends. Yeah, and that's amazing to me. Hmm. All the pictures I took with my phone.
Huh.
And uploaded most of them. I had coverage even out in the countryside in England, and so I uploaded them directly to my Facebook page.
So explain to us, for those who may not know, what exactly were you doing in England?
I was going on a walk through the countryside with my son and three of his friends. We stayed in inns, and I hired a service that carried our luggage from inn to inn.
Okay.
And we ate and drank in pubs.
Wow.
And we talked.
How many days?
8 days. 8 days on the walk.
Wow.
It was phenomenal.
And the distance?
I think we went about 40 miles.
Wow.
We didn't push it real hard.
Mm-hmm.
Although I got to tell you, parts of the trail were steep. We were in the Cotswolds.
Okay.
And some of the most beautiful countryside on God's green earth. And we were walking the Cotswolds Way, a footpath that is centuries old, probably dates back to Roman times. It runs from the town of Chipping Camden to the old Roman city of Bath.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took us across pastures and through fields and past broken down monasteries and wow. into quaint villages and
wow.
past churches. And
of course, this was inspired by C.S. Lewis and Warney?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And we made our way, at the end of the hike, we made our way to Oxford, and we tipped a few in the Eagle and Child.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
So you did visit some pubs along the way.
Yeah, we thought we might stop in at a pub or two.
Or two. Or three. Or four.
Oh, to have those amazing local British brews, a pint of the local bitter, a cask conditioned ale, hand drawn from the cellar.
Oh yeah.
But you're a traveler, you're a sojourner, you're a stranger to these people. How were you received when you would come into a village
like?
Pub?
Yeah.
Oh, people were so gracious.
Were they?
They really were, and friendly. It was a trip of a lifetime.
That's incredible.
Now it had its moments of difficulty.
Okay.
My son took one picture of me, which thankfully he has not posted. And it was on the third day, and it was near the top of a long hard climb up a hill, and I look absolutely. You know, just winded. I'm drenched. I look
just terrible.
Oh, awful. and I was miserable at that point. I really was. But then we reached the top of the hill, and we found some shade, and we had a picnic, and we looked out over the countryside. Reflecting back on it, that trip reminded me an awful lot. I mean, it was a great, I think, picture of the journey of recovery.
Mm. Interesting.
You know, there are people who want to make recovery an experience.
Yeah.
They want to package it, you know, and it's or a destination. It's you go and you maybe do some steps, or you do a weekend, or you pray a prayer, or you read a book, or you know. And then you're recovered, you're fixed, you're done, you're there.
Hmm.
That's not been my experience. My experience is that this life, this wonderful life of progressive sanctification that we're on, this daily experience of redemption, changes day by day.
Mm-hmm.
And there are sunny days and there are rainy days. And there are uphill days, and there are downhill days, and there are fantastic views,
mm-hmm.
and there are dark nights.
Mm-hmm. So I would say that it's probably appropriate that your son took a picture of you at a moment when you were at your worst.
Right. And you know, I probably should post it. I don't want to.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I want to be seen in the best light from the best angle.
Yeah, but isn't that a picture of how we can be, though?
That's right.
Like, we don't want,
you're the one preaching the idea that recovery is not just the mountaintop experience.
Yeah.
It's not the valley, too.
Yeah.
It's the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
And really, to some degree, you have modeled that for a lot of us here in the Samson Society, is the idea that it's not just the smiley face or I've got it all together or the victory.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because that is not attractive
to
those of us that are still slogging through the valley.
Yeah, You know, there are a couple things. There are many things that I love about a classic 12-step recovery. One of them is that bumper sticker you see on cars driven by old-time recovering alcoholics. You see the bumper sticker that says, "This too shall pass."
Ooh.
Mm. But that is such a profound piece of wisdom.
Yeah.
That no matter what's going on today,
mm-hmm.
whether it's fantastic, whether it's, you know, it's pleasure tripled, or whether it's the worst pain, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
It shall pass. Which is something I didn't understand before recovery. if it was painful, I thought I had to do something to make the pain go away, or it was going to be there forever.
Yeah.
I couldn't sit in the pain. I had to medicate the pain away.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if it was wonderful,
yeah,
then I wanted to somehow bottle it, save it, keep it. I wanted to set that as the standard for my life.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good point.
That it would always be that way.
Stretch it out. Yeah,
and
yeah,
that was good.
Yeah.
And the truth is that, you know, pleasure is pleasurable and pain is painful, but both are good.
And both will pass.
And both will pass.
Both will pass, absolutely.
And I've got to learn to... oddly enough, as an addict, I found it difficult. You know, I ran from pain. Also found it difficult to enter fully into pleasure.
Hmm.
And just enjoy it. And I was always trying to somehow bottle it or save it or... You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, you're trying to bottle it or elongate the experience before you really experience it.
Yeah, exactly.
So do you really enjoy it?
Yeah.
Kind of choke it off early, man. You know?
It's all about, this life is all, you know, we're Christians.
Yeah.
And we believe in redemption. We believe in the supervisory power of a loving God. We have a Savior who teaches that that blessed are those who mourn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That there's value in weeping. But who also promises us joy unspeakable and full of glory. And learning just to relax, to get up in the morning, and take that walk wherever it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I love that statement, that bumper sticker that those old recovery people have, because to be reminded that this too will pass puts it in the right perspective, because we do. We want to bottle it.
Yeah.
We want to build our experience of this moment to be much grander and influential than it really is.
Yeah.
So... the idea to walk our lives knowing that we don't get to bottle it.
Yeah.
We do get to savor it, both.
Yeah.
The pain and the joy. And that's what I need. I need more help in learning to do that myself, too.
Yeah.
To be awake in this moment.
Yeah.
To understand God's in this moment.
Yeah.
And that this is where He has me right now. So. Yeah. Don't think about tomorrow or next hour. This is where I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Ray, I want to talk with you about your story. Before we go there, though, I want to play this song for both you and me. Ray Mondo, I don't know how well you know Ray.
Mm-hmm.
You probably know him by reputation. Right, have you guys met before today?
No, we haven't.
Isn't that strange? Town as small as this one, you haven't met.
No, I know.
Ray is another one of those guys who kind of is a pastor without portfolio.
Yeah.
It's a guy that people come to, and he's got this ministry of caring and encouragement.
Yeah.
With an awful lot of artists and long-term relationships that I greatly admire. But he's just been so helpful and accessible and a huge part of the Samson community here in Franklin. And I don't know about you, Ray, but for me, I mean, I do some of that same work. And I have found that it's a whole lot more rewarding than a life of isolation. And yet, at the same time, there is a part of me that is always drawn back toward isolation.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about that earlier. The idea is that there is a default to us as fallen people that instead of moving into community, into relationships, which we know are dangerous, but are also fraught with lots of value, we know, we get scared, I think.
Yeah.
We get comfortable. We get to control our world a lot more when we're isolated.
Yeah.
The moment I walk into a conversation with you guys, I've got to be aware that you've got something to say as well, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We have to stop. We have to.
Yeah.
We have to cooperate. But I think that's a good warning for all of us to say that there is a part of us that is broken that has a propensity to want to isolate. I think in your book, I think you laid that out extremely well, and people I've talked to that I've shared this book with, again and again say, "Amen, amen."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is that? What is it about us that we know Christ, we've experienced, we have a belief that we are going to live with Him in heaven,
mm-hmm.
and yet this moment, this day, when we're choosing between either moving into the dangerous place of community with other people, or isolating. That isolation is just as strong.
Yeah,
you
know? And I
dare say that I'm expecting it to be that way the rest of my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And by so naming it, instead of saying it's abnormal, something has happened to me, I've lost the Samson thing, I find myself wanting to isolate. Instead, say this is the nature of us. Let's deal with this.
Yeah.
And let's also be aware as we're walking into relationships, everybody is like that.
Yeah.
So if this day I can encourage a brother to move from making a decision to isolate, to let's walk together a little bit, that's good. I think that's of God, and that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Randy Stonehill's got a great little song about the self-absorbed life.
Yes, Randy wrote a whole musical for children called Uncle Stonehill's Hat about 10 years ago. Kind of rare piece. It's hard to find. You can get it on iTunes. But there was a wonderful, wonderful character called Bob, Me, Myself, and I. And Bob, in the second act of this play, sings a song called My Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
This song is so darn uncomfortable when I hear it. Because part of me, as satirical as it is, part of me says, this is my song.
Yeah.
And we identify.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, sometimes.
Yeah.
Mondo, can you spin that thing for us?
Absolutely.
Here we go.
Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. My destiny, oh, I am my destiny. My destiny is to be me, me and mine alone. And I smile each time I dial and get me on the phone. I don't need to go anywhere, for if I'm here, then I'm right there. Why travel off on some vacation? I am my favorite destination. I rise each day with great elation and give myself a standing ovation. I'm my best friend, pal, and bub. The universe, I am its hub. I'm president of my own fan club. It could not be clearer as I gaze into my mirror. My destiny is plain to see. I am my destiny. My destiny, oh, I am my destiny. My destiny, yes, I am my destiny. I congratulate the me in me and shake my own hand fervently. I celebrate each day I wake with lavish gifts and birthday cake. I seek myself on my behalf and give myself an autograph. I'm learning special twists and flips to kiss myself with my own lips. I'm getting married very soon. I am the bride and I'm the groom. And at the wedding ball affair, I'll be so thrilled to meet me there. Give me this one dance, I pray. Of course I will, I'll gladly say. I'll tap my shoulder persistently and remind myself, hey, I'm with me. I'll cut in between these two, insist to me that I'm with you, and you are me, and that makes we, and us are happy as can be, and us could go on To be king, it is my station. To be the boss of my own me nation. And what a sterling population. I would send forth a proclamation to all of me, my generation, to show a bit more dedication by thinking more of me. And at day's end, I'll turn to see my own self as I run to me. The music swells romantically. I'm the guise in my own symphony. In slow motion on the shore, I hold the me that I adore. I tumble in the tide once more. And as I embrace neath the setting sun, I say to me, I am the one. It's plain to anyone who's me.
I am my destiny.
And we're back. Well, Ray, enough about me. What do you think about me? Thank you so much for finding some time in your schedule and coming in. And I'm thrilled that our subscribers, and by the way, we're up over 16,000 subscribers.
16,000.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Yeah. Dude. Somebody's telling their friends. I think that's a good thing.
So we're averaging how many a day?
90 new subscribers a day.
Wow.
Are subscribing to the podcast.
But I'm not surprised, Nate. I'm not surprised at all, because there's too few places in which Christians speak honestly and real about the stuff that's going on in their lives.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's a cool thing, and I'm thrilled that our subscribers get a chance to hear from a guy who played such a key role in the early days of the Samson Society, and who has been such an encouragement to me. You know, Ray, I still remember in the parking lot outside the Ice House, where both of us had offices at the time.
Yeah.
I told you that I was starting a book, and you said, "Well, do you have an agent?"
Yeah.
I said, "No." And
I signed up on the spot.
He signed up on the spot. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And then managed me in the beginning of this whole thing. And
when truth of the matter, I didn't really have an idea of what in the heck you were going to do. You know? you were just very compelling, and you had a great way of talking. But the truth of the matter is that inch by inch, you pull me into this.
Yeah.
And that, more so than you writing a book, mm-hmm. I want to say this. It's because you become the example, and each of these 16,000 people that are listening, wherever mm-hmm. they are in similar situations. We all have certain areas of influence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm convinced it's not so much what we know
mm-hmm.
or how we teach people stuff. It's how we live. It's how we live and how we go about our life and how we deal with the argument with our wife or the problem with a good friend,
mm-hmm.
How we walk our lives out that has the greatest impact and teaches the people around us the most. And I don't want this to become, you know, just me shining onto you, but it is an opportunity for somebody that has been in your community to be able to say, thank you.
Oh.
Thank you, and thank you for being courageous, for making the first step from a place in which I just tell a few friends, should I write a book? Should I tell more people this? Because our community has demonstratively changed as a result of your modeling. And that's a pretty wonderful thing. But those that would visit Franklin, the small little town south of Nashville at some point, will undoubtedly find Nate Larkin at the Starbucks on the corner, or often,
mm-hmm.
Talking to men, being available. Mm-hmm. And you could have just written the book. You could have just said, hey, I've done my piece, you know, and I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
But there's something about you that you said yes to a longer journey, a much longer, much more profound story than just saying, I'm going to be an author, I'm going to speak, we're going to try to make this thing work. And I thank you for that.
Well, that's very kind of you to say. The amazing thing is, the truth is, though, I won't be the only guy in Starbucks.
No.
Talking with other guys. Mm-hmm. There will be conversations going on there and in other places around town. And someplace, you know, Ray will be on the phone talking with a guy. I know you will.
Yeah. Because
that's a big part of what you do. Well, Ray, let's back up. Can you give us a thumbnail of your story? You were born and raised in Southern California, weren't you?
Born and raised in Northern California, San Jose.
Okay.
But moved to Southern California when my best friend, who we just heard sing a few minutes ago, Randy Stonehill, he became a Christian in 1970. We both graduated that year from Lee High School.
Okay.
Randy and I had known each other since we were in kindergarten. But in high school, we had made this sort of blood, we're going to be best friends our whole life. A lot of people say that, as the case may be, Randy and I have been best friends our whole lives. We're now 58 years old, and in 1970, he became a Christian, and for 5 years, I would go down and visit him in Los Angeles. He had met up with this guy named Larry Norman, mm-hmm. who had this whole new notion that music could be written. Rock music could be written about Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And it did not go over well for most people. They said, mm-hmm. What? You know, what is this? Jesus Christ and rock music? Why? You know. But what we see is that it started a whole new genre. Whether it's good or bad, we could debate. But in 1970, it was definitely new. And I watched this early music developed because I would go down and visit him, but it wasn't until 5 years later that I became a Christian.
Mm.
And I became a Christian as a result of Randy's friends just keep pointing me to who Jesus was. And I came to the point of realizing that why would I want to, if this is true, this is like the best deal in the world.
Yeah.
My sins replaced by Jesus' good work?
Yeah.
It seems, even as I say it now, a little unbelievable.
Yeah.
But this has been the driving force in my life since 1975.
Mm.
And I found myself in the midst, as a young Christian, in the midst of artists. And what I loved music artists performing, people that wanted to express this faith somehow, and they had a driving desire to make music about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so Randy was my first client, signed him to record deals. Soon after that, I took on Brian Duncan and the Sweet Comfort Band. Later on, another singer, the Allies, and Bob Carlisle came from that group. Since then, I have worked with a variety of very talented, wonderful artists, everybody from David Edwards, Phil Kagi, Nicole C. Mullen, and it's always been a
real
privilege.
The Down Here Boys?
The Down Here Guys, yes. Wonderful Canadian band that are still rocking away right now.
Yeah.
I'd say that I was talking to my pastor not long ago because I was complaining. I don't have more money, and why isn't this? And he looked me in the eye and said, Ray, you chose the type of management and the type of life that you wanted.
Yeah.
And that put me in my place, because that's exactly the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I have tried to navigate this place of being a friend to these artists and never saying, okay, it's over.
Yeah.
Because there's one thing in music and in the business of music that's really not good, is that there's a sense that you have these friends and you have these companies as long as you are successful. I mean, as long as you're selling records, as long as you've got people sitting in the seats, so as long as you can pay somebody to be your friend, you know,
yeah,
and to run the organization. I realized that for me anyway, that's not the type of manager I wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And so I think you're correct. There are pastoral type of things in my life in which I find myself just caring about these people and being a person that's trustworthy and at least has some business knowledge. Not always like you know everything, but you're at least coming alongside going, well, let's try this. Mm. The song we just heard, you know, from Uncle Stonehill's Hat was a project that I knew Randy Stonehill had in him. Mm-hmm. But he had, because he would write these crazy songs, he would never record them. Mm-hmm. But the best songs, I would hear at night after a glass of wine, mm-hmm. and you go, whoa, that should be on an album, or you mm-hmm. should write more songs like that. So I was proud that I pushed him toward writing a song like My Destiny. and frankly, that was my contribution. And for a long time, I thought that, hey, I don't write the song. I don't do all the important things.
Yeah.
But I have made peace with the idea that there's a place for that guy that sits in the room and says, I believe in you.
Yeah.
And let's knock on this door and let's work on that second verse. And let me meet you. Let me introduce you to some of my other friends.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because artists are like the rest of us, tend to be very isolated.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we tend to be stronger when we find the right team for us.
Yeah, yep. Wow. I want to keep talking, but let's take another music break. Have you got a new artist?
I do indeed. A young lady from Fairhope, Alabama, reminded me of Reese Witherspoon when I first met this girl a year ago. Her name is Dorothy Savage. She bubbles with all of this southern genteel femininity. Very, very classy lady. Mm-hmm. The irony is that she grew up dirt poor in a very troubled family. And for some reason, she just elbowed her way into New York, onto the off-Broadway stage, and ultimately elbowed her way into my life. Mm. She has an album called Glorious Mess, which I'd say this. I've just met this woman a year ago, but some of the same principles that we talk about in Samson, mm-hmm. the idea that as Christians, it's not so much our victories or the successes that we've had in Christ that are the most attractive or the mm-hmm. most instructive. Mm-hmm. It's really our messes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's the idea that we fail, but God loves us anyway.
Yeah.
And as long as we keep coming back to Him, both with the things that are beautiful in our life, but also our brokenness, our sins, as long as we continue to return to Him with both of these things in our hands, we are going to be okay.
Yeah.
And I was very impressed with Dorothy choosing to create a career that's as beautiful as she is and all. In her concert, she's really talking to young ladies about eating disorders, which she has experienced, and the idea that as perfect and as wonderful as she looks, let me tell you the real story.
Wow, wow.
And the song that she presently has on the radio is a song by Chris Klein called Finder of the Lost, produced by Chris Omardian.
All right, Dorothy Savage, here we go.
Caught up in something that way, never imagined we'd be, suffering under, but we are. Underneath the tides turning, all the while time's burning, we can say we've gone too far. Thinking like a stone, we'll fall.
And we're back. So, Ray, you're this guy with these incredibly long professional relationships with the people you manage.
Yep.
And then this long friendship of more than, a friendship of more than 50 years with Randy Stonehill. I want to talk about that a little bit. You know, in Samson, of course, we understand that this community is built on personal relationships. I can't really have a relationship with a group.
Right.
I can have relationships with people.
Right.
And I'm going to be closer with some members of the group than with others at any given time.
Right.
The person who I'm going to be walking most closely with at any given point of time in the Samson Society is called my Silas.
Mm-hmm.
He is a trustworthy traveling companion for this stretch of the road. The assumption is that relationship, as it's defined that way, is not permanent. It may turn out to be long term, but it's not assumed to be a permanent relationship. I've had three Silases in Samson. Dave Mullen, the last of them, now looking for a fourth. Now, David and I are still friends, but the Silas relationship is changing. Which is, I got to tell you, it still, you know, we're big boys about it. We both know it's time to do it, but it's emotionally, that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah. Especially if there has been, as there oftentimes is, a reason for why the Silas relationship that you've been walking with a long time now has changed.
Yeah.
And the truth of the matter is that we are fallen people.
Yeah.
We disappoint each other.
Yeah.
And the very nature, it's brilliant that we have in a path that the Silas is defined in terms of to walk with for a period of time.
Right. This stretch
of the road.
Yeah.
Because it gives great freedom. We do not need or want to go into relationships at a time in which we are most needy, that are forever.
Yeah.
We can't grasp that concept. And so it's appropriate to say, let's just walk down this next block together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's just take the first steps toward this.
Yeah.
Now, my experience has been that invariably, someplace in this walk, we get hurt, we get disappointed, and because we invest so much in this Silas, I mean, this is the way it's supposed to be. If you're going to be telling another person the things that you have not shared with anybody else except God in the secrecy of your heart,
yeah.
This is an important person and somebody that needs to be trusted. But they're also a person that has the potential of hurting you.
Right.
And so a lot of times that Silas relationship does come across rocky times.
Mm-hmm.
There's a disappointment. I do believe that we are meant for enduring relationships.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing sweeter than to think in terms of rocking on a porch swing with my wife and recounting a life that we have walked together.
Mm.
Same with Randy, same with these friends of ours.
Yeah.
And at the heart of it, I think we need to readjust our expectations of what people are going to be giving us and how they're going to disappoint us. And we need to be a little bit more forgiving.
Yeah.
And realize also that works two ways.
Yeah.
If we take on an attitude of forgiveness because we've been disappointed, that same graciousness is offered to us.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I need it.
Yeah.
Because I disappoint, because I fail,
because
I am not the great friend that my PR wants to present.
Yeah, neither am I.
So given that, as broken people, what we do is we find ourselves huddled together, really sharing the fact that we are broken and we don't want to be together.
Yeah.
I don't want to be with you. Yeah. I don't want to tell you my life. I want to go and do what I want to do.
Yeah.
But I found out that it does not work.
Yeah.
If I live my life that way, everything that's valuable and important to me starts going through my fingers.
Yes.
And I'm left with nothing.
Yeah.
So I have to deliberately say no. Whether I want to or not, this is good for me. Mm-hmm. This is good for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that it does. It requires us to take it slow.
Yeah.
And it requires us to talk enough so that we are quick to our confession and quick to ask for forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And quick to extend forgiveness.
Yeah.
As soon as we have a little bit of this going on,
yeah.
The moment you have come to the third or fourth time in which you've been disappointed or you've forgiven, you got it down.
Yeah.
You start
yeah.
realizing this person isn't going to go anywhere. I'm yeah. not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess God wants us to be in our lives together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you sort of relax into it a bit.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for that. And thank you for sitting in, joining the public conversation. You've
yes.
been a part of the private conversation for so long.
It's a privilege. It's a great privilege. And to know that across the country, around the world, people are experiencing Samson societies, that they are being nudged toward the idea of maybe today I go to my best friend and I say, let's take this book. Let's try this. You and I, let's start a Samson Society in this town.
Yeah.
That potential is intoxicating to me.
Yeah.
Because I know that that is the first step toward a grand and a wonderful journey for people.
Yes.
So
yes.
I encourage
yes.
you, if you're thinking about it now, go and do this. Pull that friend of yours aside and say, let's start tonight, you and I. Let's start a society, and then start seeing what other people you might pull into the society.
Hmm.
Anyway, thank you, Nate. Thank
All
you,
right.
Rhonda.
Well, we're going to close. Before we do, let me remind you of the 48 Hours of Frankness weekend coming up in the beautiful hills of North Carolina, September 24th through 26th at the Las Cruces.
Las Cruces.
At a beautiful place. It's a retreat center, whatever
Val
it is.
Val Cruces.
That's
there we
it.
Go.
Retreat center. You can register. You can reach the registration page through the main page at SamsonSociety.org. Well, it's been a great visit. We will be off next week, but back the week following with a great guest, Marnie Foray, founder of the Bethesda Workshops, one of the world's foremost experts on female sex addiction, will be with us for a conversation.
Now, we also do have a P.O. box now, correct?
Oh, that is true. That is true. Yeah. By the way, we love to hear from you. You can... Thank you, Mondo.
You're welcome. That's why I'm on the microphone.
You can reach us on the worldwide interweb at letters@samsonsociety.org.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can also write to us or send us crap at our new post office box.
Yes.
Box 244, Franklin, Tennessee, 37065. That's the Pirate Monk Podcast. Box 244, Franklin, Tennessee, 37065.
There you go.
Until next time, this is Nate and Mondo
and
our
and
good
Ray.
Friend Ray Ware. Wishing you the best from the Pirate Monk Podcast. God bless.
Oh, a pirate's life is a wonderful life, a roving over the sea. Give me a career as a buccaneer, it's the life of a pirate for me. Oh, the life of a pirate for me.